morning. So Inside Out is something we do, really is exactly what it says. It's to take ministry from inside the church to the outside. And we support a couple of different crisis pregnancy centers. Foundations is one of those, and we really believe in this. And as you can see from the video, we believe in this. And so I want to encourage you, if you feel led to pray about this, continue to give towards this Inside Out mission, and it makes a big difference. You're going to be hearing a lot of different, stories of ministries that we support. There's a lot of them, so in the future, you're going to continue to hear more and more about that, and so we're excited about it. It's something that's really cool to see all that God's doing through these different ministries and through the generosity of the people in this body of believers. And so thank you for that. Pray that that will continue. And I know we're going to continue to see God do incredible things. I know John mentioned this, but I do want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Very thankful for you and just all that you do, the sacrifices you make as mothers, and the way you, so many of you care for us. And just very grateful and thankful for that as well. One other thing I want to tell you, and I can't remember this happening in the almost 15 years of this church. This morning, as the first song was beginning, I was finishing up the last little bit of my notes, and I hit Command P on my computer, which sends it to the printer. And when I hit Command P, for some reason, it deleted my notes. And this is like literally as the first song is starting. And so this morning, it ought to be a lot of fun, right? And there's my notes right there. I did jot down a few things. But we had something else, something a little different on our heart anyway. And so I feel like the Lord's working in this. I feel like the Lord really worked a lot in 9. And my prayer is that he would do that again today at 11. That he would just move in people's hearts. We sang a song earlier about miracles, and I believe God is a miracle-working God. And that's my prayer, is that today miracles would happen. Things that many of us probably have given up on would take place today. This is a house of miracles, that God's presence is here, and that God is here to work and to do things that we can't do in our ability. And so that's my prayer, that's my heart. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8. We are going to have a message out of Matthew 8. Like I said, last week, we'll be here for a couple more weeks. And I want to read a few verses about this centurion that Jesus runs into, and actually the centurion sends for Jesus. Before we do, though, I want to tell you a little bit about what a centurion was. A centurion was a Roman soldier. He's actually traditionally over about 100 soldiers himself. If you go and you read some of the history of what centurions were like, they were actually well thought of. Even in the New Testament, when you read about a centurion, they're usually respected. They were men who were seen as steadfast. They were resilient. They were had dignity. They weren't quick to rush into battle. They were self-controlled, but when the time came to fight, they were willing to stand their post and even die for what they were responsible for. And so these men were really well respected amongst the folks in their society. And so this is the type of person we're reading about. And we'll begin in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And remember, we're coming out of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And chapters 5 through 7, Jesus is revealing who he is through his words. In chapters 8 and 9, he's revealing who he is through his works. And we're about to read about one of those works. So Matthew 8, chapter 5, it says, "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. 'Lord,' he said, 'my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly.' Jesus said to him, 'Shall I come and heal him?' The centurion replied, 'I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word.'" I want you to hear that. "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west. In other words, it won't just be the Jewish people who come into the kingdom. He says that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom, meaning the Israelites, the Jewish people, will be thrown outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. I do want us to flip over to the Gospel of Luke real quick. Luke chapter 7. Luke records this same story with a little bit of a different twist. What you're going to notice, Matthew says that the centurion goes to Jesus. Luke tells us that the centurion actually sends some Jewish elders and then some friends to Jesus. What scholars say is that Matthew was basically shortening this story a little bit and saying basically these people went and represented this man as though this man went himself. But what we're going to read here is the same account with a little bit of a different wording. So Luke chapter 7, verse 1, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves, listen to this. They say, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That's why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, there that is again, say the word, and my servant will be healed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that your word is true. Would you even right now, God, begin to open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits to the fact that you are a supernatural God. You work outside of what is natural. You work outside of what is within our minds. You work outside of what we can comprehend. Would you open our hearts to see that? Would you open our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, to see, Lord, who you are as you reveal yourself through the works with this centurion? Would you help us to see that all people can come to you through faith in Christ? Would you help us to see that all things are possible through faith in Christ as we open your word? God, let it penetrate into our hearts. God, let us respond to you in faith. God, and through faith, I pray for miracles in this place today. God, unashamedly, I pray for miracles in this place today, that testimonies would come out even months and years later of prayers that were prayed today, that people would be saved because of prayers that were prayed today, that healing would be come because of prayers that were prayed today. I pray, God, that we would see all sorts of miracles, things that only you can do in your ability. And today we come into agreement together, Lord, that all things are possible for you and all things are possible for those who believe in you. So we give you praise. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We pray it all in the name that has all authority under heaven, all authority in earth. And that's the name of Jesus. Amen. So I would imagine this. I imagine that at some point in your life, that every single one of us in here have gotten something that we felt we deserved, and probably remember more times that we didn't get something that we thought we deserved. Anybody can relate to that? You thought you deserved the job and you didn't get it. You thought you deserved the girl, but another guy got her, and you look at him, you're like, how could she choose him over me, right? You thought you deserved the raise, but you didn't get it. You thought you deserved, you know, the promotion. You didn't get it. You thought you deserved the A on the exam because you studied really hard, but you didn't get it. You thought you deserved this. Whatever it is, you can fill in the blank. You thought you deserved. And we read this, that the two words, or the word that stuck out to me in two different places as I was reading this week, was the word deserve. And if you really look at it, especially in the account that Luke wrote about, you see it in two different places. And here's what I want to point out to you. So these elders of the Jews, these Jewish leaders, they go to Jesus on behalf of this centurion. Now, this centurion is not a Jew. The Jewish people were the chosen people of God through whom God would bring the Messiah. They held on to this special privilege as the people of God. They thought that their heritage and that privilege is what would get them into heaven, that they would spend eternity with God because they were of the Jewish ethnicity, the Jewish race. And yet, here they come on behalf of this pagan, this non-Jew, and they come to Jesus and they say this. They say, "Will you come and heal his servant, Jesus, because he deserves for you to do this." He says he deserves this. He's been good to us as a nation. He's even built us a synagogue. He's built us a place to worship God. He deserves for you to come and do this. And then we see the centurion. And as Jesus begins to approach his house, he sends friends out and he says, "Tell him to stop. Tell him not to come any further." He says, "Because I don't deserve to have him under my roof." And when I look at that, I see this interesting difference. And on one hand, I see these Jewish people who, if they thought that this centurion who had done these good things deserved Jesus' presence, then you know that them as Jews thought they deserved Jesus' presence. But then you look at the centurion and he says, "There's no way I deserve you to come under my roof. Just don't even come under my roof. I don't deserve it." And on this side with these Jewish leaders, this is what I see. I see a picture of religion. I see a picture of religion that says, if I do enough good works, I deserve Jesus' presence. On this side, I see a guy who says, "I know I've done a lot of good and I've helped a lot of people, but I still don't deserve the presence of God in my house." And I want you to see this. I want you to understand this today, that there's really only one way to come into God's presence. The only way we come into God's presence, the only way we experience God's power is through Jesus. And it's not through doing the good works for Jesus. It's through faith in Jesus. I want you to understand, we experience the power of Jesus through faith. Faith is the conduit through which the power of God flows into our lives. It's not through all the good stuff we can do. It's not through all the church attendance. It's not through any of those things. It's through faith. It's through belief. He took Jesus at his word, and at that moment, his servant was healed. And here's the thing for us today. We can experience the power of God by faith in Jesus. Today, right now, God is here. God is present. And I pray he would manifest himself. He would reveal himself to us today in his power because of our faith in him. That we would activate our faith. That we would begin in faith to believe that God will do what we cannot do for ourselves. For some of you, you have given up on certain things in your life because you think they will never happen. And in your ability, you have tried and tried and tried and tried to make them happen. And here's the reality, they still haven't happened. But this is what I can tell you, with God, all things are possible. And it is through faith in Jesus that we experience the power of God. But understand, none of us deserve it. We're all just like that centurion. None of us deserve it. It's easy for us to come into church and we become so familiar with God that we lose our reverence for God. We lose our respect for God. We lose our fear of God from a standpoint of we have no awe. We don't recognize His holiness. We don't recognize His power. We lose our reverence, our awe. We forget that He is the Almighty. We forget that He is completely sovereign. We forget that at a word He can heal a paralytic. We forget that in a touch He can heal a leper. We forget that He died and He rose again. We forget that He has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to do work in and through us that we can't do on our own. We forget these things and we become irreverent towards God. There's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It's about a man named Uzzah. And in this account, King David has sent men to go to Uzzah's house, the house that Uzzah lives in. And they're to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. And this Ark has been existing in this house. And Uzzah is one of the people that lives there. And so they come and they're going to take the Ark and they're carrying it back to Jerusalem. They're going to bring it back. Now, God had given specific instructions on how the ark was to be moved. The ark was to be moved by the Levites, who were the priests, by carrying it on two poles. They were to put it on poles and they were to carry it wherever it went. Now, violation number one is that they put it, it says, on a new cart that's being pulled by oxen. The Bible is also very clear that no one is to touch the Ark of the Covenant that represents the power of God, that represents the presence of God. No one is to touch it because they are to revere the presence of God so much. And it is even said that if someone touches it, they will die because they have been irreverent towards the presence of God. Well, the way this goes is as they are moving this from Uzzah's house back to Jerusalem, these men are walking along, Uzzah being one of them. It says that the oxen stumbles. Uzzah reaches up to steady the ark. When he touches the ark, the anger of the Lord comes upon him and he drops dead. And we look at that and we say, well, it seems like he didn't get what he really deserved. Was that really that big of a deal? But that's part of the problem. We don't understand the holiness. We've lost our reverence for God. We've lost an understanding of His power. And I would ask you this, perhaps the reason that Uzzah thought he could reach up and touch the ark and have no consequences is because it existed in his house for so long that he became familiar with it and he forgot the power of God that it represented. And I wonder if for some of us today, including myself, if we've been around Jesus so much, we've been around the church so much, we've been around God so much, that we have forgotten that with one word, God can do more in us, through us, for us, through our prayers, than we could ever do in 1,000 years. Have we forgotten the awe-inspiring power of God that works and does what we cannot do? Listen, we've got to have a revelation again of the power of God. That God can do all things. That we can come to God and experience His power. We can come to God through Jesus. One of the things that shows us when the centurion's servant is healed is that Jesus wants all people to come to Him. Jesus wants all people to come to God. But the reality of it is, the way we do that is through Christ. But when we come to God through Christ, all things are possible. There is nothing that is impossible. But I believe we've got to have an awakening. That awakening needs to happen in the church. The awakening needs to happen that anything is possible when God is moving and that God desires to move amongst His people. And that includes today. And here's the thing I know. Many people came in here today, and this is just another church service. It's just another time to hear a message. I'm going to take some notes, maybe go home, apply those notes. That's a great thing to do. But here's what I'm challenging us with. I'm challenging us to open our minds to something bigger, to realize that God's ways are not our ways, that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that His ability is greater than our ability, that He can do for us, in us, through us, what we cannot do for ourselves, that He can, through our prayers, do something for someone else that we cannot do for them. That He can revive dreams, that He can heal, that He can do things that we cannot do. And here's the thing, and this seems weird. I know this seems weird, but here's what I'm gonna do. In just a minute, I'm gonna count to three, and I'm gonna clap my hands. And this is what this means. When I clap my hands, this is my prayer, that there is an awakening in your heart and there's an awakening in your mind. It is like something snaps inside of you, and you realize, maybe for the first time, that all things are possible for God. All things are possible through God. There's nothing that is impossible for Him. And when I clap my hands, it's more than that. It is God opening your eyes and opening your heart to see a bigger picture, to find the reverence, to find the awe, to find the fear of the Lord that says He is holy and He is righteous and there is nothing beyond His ability. That there would be an awakening in our heart, an opening of our eyes. One, two, three. That right now, something changes in your heart and something changes in your mind, and that the Spirit of God would move in you, that the Spirit of God would open your eyes and open your hearts to see that today, this Sunday, it doesn't have to be an ordinary day because we don't serve an ordinary God. Listen, I told you a couple of weeks ago, I sat in the back and I watched the people, I watched the families, I saw the faces. Today, as the video's playing, I'm looking out and I'm seeing all the people, and there's faces I know, and there's people I know right now who are hurting, who are going through what feels like hell on earth. I know right now there are faces of people that I don't know, but you're still hurting and you're going through crap. I know right now there are people who you're sitting here and you're hurting for someone else who needs prayer and who needs a miracle. Our job is not to create the miracle. Our job is to pray for it. And that's what we're gonna do right now. And here's what I'm challenging you with. You get out of your seat and you come down here, because we're gonna pray for each other and we're gonna believe that God is the God who He says He is. And if He can heal a paralyzed man for this centurion, then He can heal somebody else in this place right now. I want you to get out of your seat. This is not like, hey, this is a good thought. Like, this is like, seriously, right now, let's pray, let's move, let's do what we need to do. Listen, right now, here's the thing. Somebody, you need to grab your wife's hands and you need to get on your knees and you begin to pray for your marriage. Some of you need to come down here and you need to begin to pray for your kids. Some of you youngsters, you need to come down here and you need to begin to pray for your future. You need to begin to pray for your future spouse. You need to begin to pray. You need to begin to pray that God would keep you pure. For some of you, you need to understand that God's here to work in your heart. God is here to move in your heart. God is real. This is not something we go through the motions. This is something that God does, that He works and He heals. See, here's something that happens. This centurion was a man who would have seen himself as someone who was pretty influential in his society. But here's the thing. Desperation destroys dignity. And some of us need to lose our dignity and we need to get on our knees. Because here's the thing I can tell you. If you are ashamed to bow the knee to Jesus, it will be hard to experience the power of God. So, Father, I pray right now. I pray right now, Lord, for my friends who are going through such a tough time. to give them strength, Lord. Would you heal, Jesus? Would you pour out your power, Lord? Would you do, God, for them what we can't do? Would you do in your ability, Jesus, what we can't do in ours? Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray right now for every person who's bowing their knee to you right now in holy reverence and holy fear. Lord, I pray right now that you begin to heal hearts. I pray right now for the one who's been wounded, the one who's in a broken relationship, the relationship's broken. I pray for that heart that's been wounded. I pray, Lord, for you to heal. I pray for you to bring hope. God, I pray right now for the marriage that's on the verge, Lord. It's on the verge of ending. Would you restore, God? Would you restore? Would you give the ability to forgive? Last week, we talked about those disciples that got in the boat and they made a choice to go to the other side of the lake with Jesus, and others made excuses. I want to encourage you today. Are you willing to go to the other side? Because they had to go through the storm to get through the other side. But Jesus was with them in the boat and in the storm. Are you willing to do that? Jesus, would you take them to the other side of this challenge? Right now, I pray for the person. You're looking at your job. You're looking at your finances right now. And you see this huge mountain that's standing in front of you. I want to encourage you that in faith, you can just speak to that mountain. Because the Bible says that faith will move those mountains. Jesus, would you move the mountains? I pray for the person right now who's in this valley of depression. God, would you fill in the valley? Would you make it level? God, would you move the mountains and would you fill in the valleys? God, would you begin to do that? Would you begin to give hope where there was darkness? Right now, I pray for the person who feels like you're just walking in straight darkness right now. And I pray right now that light would begin to shine in your heart and you begin to realize that it's not over, that there is hope, that there is still life. I pray, God, right now that life begins to breathe back into them, that, God, they once were on fire for you, but that began to flicker, that began to flame out. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you flow through them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, and would you bring a fire again in their heart, a fire again in their heart. I pray for the young person here right now who's concerned, Lord, who's concerned about their future. I feel like it's for a spouse. I feel like it's for somebody, Lord. They're looking for a spouse. They're thinking about marriage. They're thinking about who am I going to spend my life with. God, I pray you give them patience. I pray you'll open their eyes to see it. I pray, God, right now that you'll work in their hearts, that you'll settle that in their hearts, that you'll give them peace in their hearts, Lord. I pray for the person right now who doesn't know you, Lord. Today, would you open their eyes to see you, that for the first time in their life, they would say yes to you, that they would accept your sacrifice for their sin, that, God, they would receive you as the Lord and the Savior of their life. Would you work in that? God, I pray for the person here right now who's battling cancer. Would you be with them? Would you heal them, God? Would you heal them, God? We're not ashamed to pray for that, God. Would you heal that cancer in Jesus' name? Would you remove those cells in Jesus' name? Would you make them well in Jesus' name? Would you touch them, God, with a great miracle? God, I pray for the person right now who's struggling with pornography. I pray right now, Jesus, you would break that hold over them in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe they've been struggling and battling and walking in condemnation. Would you break that hold over them? Would you give them courage to confess that sin and that you would cleanse them of that sin, God, and that they would be able to walk away from it? God, I pray for that. I pray for the person right now who, because of sexual immorality, they feel unclean. They feel dirty. I pray, Lord, just like the woman caught in adultery, that they would understand that there's no condemnation, but that they would also get up and walk away and sin no more, that they would be able to follow you. I pray for the person who's becoming weak in their walk, Lord, that they would fix their eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of their faith, that they would consider you, Jesus, who went to the cross, who did not scorn its shame. But God, you laid down your life to give us life. Father, I pray that our arms would not become weak, that our legs would not become weak, that we would wait on you, that you would give us strength. Lord, I pray for the person here that's battling with depression. Lord, I even pray that you would work in their brain. Lord, I know this battle. Would you even work in their brain? There's a chemical imbalance, Lord. Would you work in that? Would you work through doctors? Would you just touch and heal whatever that is? But God, would you give them the strength to not give up? Would you give them the strength to not quit? God, give them the strength to not give in to thoughts of taking their life or harming themselves. God, just give us the ability to take one more step, just one more step. Father, I thank you that you heal. I thank you that you restore. I thank you that you mend. I thank you that you cleanse. I thank you that you're doing that right now. Right now. Holy Spirit, just continue to move. Continue to move in our hearts and our lives. The reality, Jesus, of who you are. For someone in here today, maybe it's the first day that you would say yes to Jesus. If today's a day of salvation for you, you realize that Jesus paid the price for your sin. That he was nailed to a cross for you. That your sin was placed upon him. That the wrath of God fell upon that sin so that you could be forgiven. And today you would say, I'm yielding my life to him. I am receiving what Jesus has offered me. I realize that I don't deserve it. But I see what Jesus has done, and I'm ready to receive it. Then this is what I would say. If today is the day of salvation for you, I want you to put your hand in the air so we can pray with you, that we can welcome you. Thank you. Back right here, this old row right here. Amen. Can you guys come forward? Do you mind just coming forward, all of you together? Because we want to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you, but we do want to pray for you. If today's the day of salvation for you, would you just come up here and let us pray? Let us pray for you. My hands are snotty, but I'm going to fist bump you anyway. Amen. Amen. If today's the day of salvation, we're going to pray for you. I think I missed you, brother. Amen. Amen. We're going to just go, guys, and if you don't mind, we'll take you, pray for you, help you take your next steps. God, right now, I pray over them. I pray deliverance over them right now. Every chain in their life broken. In Jesus' name, right now, every chain, every lie that the enemy has planted in their minds is broken in Jesus' name. Help them cling to the truth of your word that sets us free. We believe it, Lord. You said if we would hold to your teachings, your teachings, your truth would set us free. And we believe that today, and we believe that for them, and we celebrate with heaven. That we have new brothers and sisters who have entered the kingdom. And we love you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You guys will just get your stuff, and if you'll let them take you back and pray, I promise it'll be harmless. Let me pray over us. Father, we thank you for the work you do. You're so much better to us than we deserve. Thank you that you didn't give us what we deserve, but you gave us mercy and grace. We love you, Lord.